mic to be turned on. I should say that. Amen. So happy Father's Day to all of you. And I'm preaching to the men today, but ladies, I promise you, you will receive. There's nothing that I'll say to these men that won't go over and that you can't apply to your life as well. And so it's wonderful. But I titled this, The Making of a Man of God. The Making of a Man of God. Friday, something very unique and interesting happened to me. Most of you know I grew up not knowing my father. Met him one time when I was 37, but other than that, that was it. Well, Friday, my brother and I drove to Granite City, Illinois, right outside of St. Louis, and we met with my father, and he's 95 years old now, and knows Jesus as his Savior. So we will spend an eternity together. But what a pleasant visit we had. It was probably the best Father's Day gift that I could have ever had. You know, God cares about us, doesn't he? And he's healing hurts and just, it was just such a wonderful thing. So, all right, the making of a man of God. I'm coming from 1 Samuel chapter 22. And verses 1 and 2, it says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard about it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. That sounds like the beginning of a church, doesn't it? Those in distress, those in debt, and those discontented come to you first. Amen. And that's the way with all of us, right? All of us was there at one time. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today, and I realize, Lord, that you are doing something right here among us, God. I feel it in my spirit that the Spirit of God is moving and speaking to hearts and generating something, Lord, that you are wanting to do. I pray, Father, that this would be the best Father's Day that we have ever celebrated together, God. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us as our Father, God. Lord, I'm so thankful that you told us that we can call you Abba Father, my dad. And Lord, I celebrate that, Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful that we learn to be good dads from your example. And Father, I pray, Lord, today, Lord, that our hearts would be open and receptive to what the Spirit of God is doing. Let us hear his voice, Lord. So Lord, I pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I read this scripture to you, and so the three D's, distress, debt, discontented, and then I'm going to add one, deserters. They were part of Saul's army, and they basically deserted Saul and started following David. And so one of the great things that you need to know in the making of a man of God, the transformation of a man to a man of God, is it matters who you're following. It matters who is your hero in life. And today, one of the things that's wrong with the world is we're elevating the wrong people and we're idolizing the wrong people. We need to be elevating the people of God and keeping our eyes on them and seeing what the Lord is doing. So in 2 Samuel then, in chapter 23, I want to show you who these men became. So 2 Samuel, now in 1 Samuel, when we read about these men, David had been anointed king, but he's hiding out from Saul, because Saul is still the king, but David's been anointed the king. So in 2 Samuel then, chapter 23, we got some names here that I'm going to really mess up. It says, in verse 8, it says, these are the names of the mighty men whom David had, Josheth, Bashhethep. Something like that. The Tachamite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Eznite because he killed 800 men at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dudu. Maybe we should say Dodo, okay? You know, you don't win with a name like that. Dodo or Dudu, either one. It's just, well, let's just stop with his name. He was one of the three mighty men when David, when they defiled the Philistines who were gathered there for battle. And the men of Israel had retreated. Listen to that. The men of Israel retreated, but David's mighty men did not retreat. He arose and attacked the Philistine until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. The people fled to the Philistines, from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Those who were distressed, those who were discontented, those that were in debt, and those who deserted the captain of Saul from his army began to follow Paul or David. And all of a sudden, God turned these men, not immediately, but over the process of time, God turned them into these mighty men of God, these mighty warriors. And that's exactly what God wants to do today in the lives of men and women. It's wonderful that you come to church. Bless you. Thank you. I'm glad. But God didn't save you so you can plant your butt in the seat. God saved you so that you would be a mighty warrior in the army of God, right? We may not be killing Philistines today, but we're stomping the head of the enemy, aren't we? Amen. So why is transformation so important in our lives? Because we reproduce who we are, not who we want to be. And you are fathers, and you're reproducing yourself in your children. And today, as I would begin to study this again and reflect over it, the Lord spoke this to me, and he said, tell them this, it's never too late. See, there's some people, yeah, that's worth a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Or some of us would say, well, my children are grown. It really doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does matter. See, as long as you're a dad, as long as the Spirit of God is in you, he wants to reproduce. People are watching you. I don't care if your kids are small or your kids are grown. They're still watching who you are. And when something begins to germinate in you and God begins to change you, your children will notice. You know, it's really hard to fool a kid. They are masters at seeing the duplicity of our life. You tell them, no, this is the way you should be, and you do something different. They'll follow who you are, not what you tell them. So it's imperative that we become mighty in God. Psalms 127, every Father's Day, you got to read this verse. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Now the world will tell you that children are a headache. Children are a nuisance. Children cost you a lot of money. I won't deny that one. But the Bible says, no, children are a heritage from God. Your children are the blessing that God gives you. Amen? And so he goes on, he says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Who did I just tell you we are? We're warriors, right? And what's our arrow? It's our children. You are shooting your... I'm not even reading this verse. We're getting ready to shoot our kids in the right direction. Amen? So are the children of one's youth. It doesn't say you're young. It says they're young in their youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. I was just happy my quiver was small. He said, they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Dads, we need to shoot straight. Because we're shooting off our kids to their target. Like arrows are in the hands of a warrior, so are your children in your hands. And those today, our arrows are perfect. They're made on a machine. And this day, arrows were handmade. And every arrow would have a bent. And so was no perfect arrow. And you had to know which way your arrow went. That's what he's saying. Your children have a bent. There's a predetermined, God has instilled something in them and has a calling. You know, we used to tell our kids, you can do anything you want to do. That's erroneous. You can do anything that God has called you to do. That's the right statement to make your kids. And so it's imperative that we find out what our kids are to do. I remember one time when our kids were really small, I went to our church and I just got alone in a Sunday school class and I said, God, I need to know. I need to know what you called these two young men. It was before the third one come along. I need to know what you called them to do. Within a few minutes of praying, I saw my oldest son, Matthew. I saw him in a doctor's outfit. And my other son, Jordan, the middle one, I saw him behind a drafting table. I knew that the first one would be a doctor and the second one would be an engineer. God told me that. It changed the way we parented. Now, I never necessarily wanted them to do that. It was what God declared for them. That was their mark, right? And so we were able to help shoot them off in that direction. Does it matter? I got this straight from the internet, guys. The outcome for children with involved fathers. They have lower rates of depression and anxiety. They have higher grades and test scores. They're less likely to engage in risky behavior. They're stronger peer relationships and greater empathy and self-control. They have greater household stability, especially economically. And six, they're more likely to attend college and less likely to be incarcerated. That's not my words. That's not my knowledge. That's social scientists who have studied fathers and involved dads. They said that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33 and 34, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good character. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now we would say this, birds of a feather flock together, right? But the Bible says no evil company corrupts good character. It matters who you hang out with, right? A lot of times we think, well, our kids are hanging out with the wrong kids. And sometimes you come to the conclusion, no, I think our kids are the wrong kids. They're the one leading everybody else astray. It gives you a different prayer there. Tony used to come to my office and he used to say that all the time. He said, you know, bad company corrupts good character. And if that's true, the opposite ought to be true too. That means good company ought to promote good character. You know, you need to hang out with someone that challenges you spiritually, that brings you up to the next level, that gives a challenge to your spirit. Well, these guys had been following Saul, and you heard the condition that they were in. And now they begin to follow David, and all of a sudden, things begin to happen in their lives. Things begin to change. I'm going to read a quote today. From Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers, to me, was one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. He pastored the church in Memphis, Bellevue, I believe is the name, big church in Memphis. And man, he preached a hard word, really. If you read some of the things, he didn't cut it easy. He said this, I believe that a great number of people are going to die and go to hell. because they're counting on their religiosity in the church instead of their relationship with Jesus to get them to heaven. They give lip service to repentance and faith, but they have never been born again. You must be born again. So what happens when you get born again? A lot of things don't change at that moment. Now, the Bible says you're made a new creation, right? Old things are passed away. We know what happens spiritually. But listen to this. In 1 Peter 1:23, he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. In Mark chapter 4, we have the parable of the sower. And the sower went out and he sowed the seed. And the Bible says the seed was the word of God. What happens when you get born again, the Spirit of God plants a seed in you that begins to grow. You must be born. This is not, he said it early, this is not a self-help religion. This is a God-help religion. We need a makeover, not by human hands, but by God Almighty. I'm telling you, you cannot accomplish the things that God has called you to do. You need the Lord to come alongside of you, put the seed of God in your heart so that you will get to the target. I think we have made church into something that it was never supposed to be. I love you. And I'm glad that you're coming to the church. Even if I don't know your name, I'm glad you're here. It's not really important that you know me. But here's the more important part. That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the seed of God is planted in you. Because that seed, see, God doesn't plant a tree in you. God plants a seed, and that seed begins to grow. And what happens is the more that seed grows, the more your mind begins to change, because the seed is the word of God. So that's why every week we say, get in the word, get in the word. Turn the stinking TV off, put the magazine down, and get into the word of God. That's where real change happens. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 6 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. It didn't say blessed is a Christian. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful who gives you advice. They'll lead you straight to hell. It says, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I've went over this a lot. I don't like to repeat myself, but the Lord spoke to me. He said, you have a new congregation. You need to repeat yourself, because they don't know what the ones that's been there for a long time know. The word meditate means to chew the cud. It's like the cow that has four stomachs. You ever notice a cow when they're sitting in the field, they're always chewing? Well, they're not bending down and getting new. They're just regurgitating. They're just vomiting it up. Boy, this is pleasant right before lunch, right? They just vomit it up and chew it again, right? Just keep chewing that. Well, that's what he says we need to do with the word of God. You know, I was preaching here Wednesday night, and Danny Thomas, right back here, Danny knows the word as well as anybody in this building. And he spoke up. He's sitting right over there where Mark was at. And he spoke up and he said, man, this really ministered to me. Romans 8:28. I promise you, he has read Romans 8:28 probably 1,000 times in his life. But all of a sudden, God says, here, let me give you a nugget right here. He reads Romans 8:28 and something happens in his soul. I'm telling you, you cannot read it enough. I like this because this part of the scripture, he says, don't walk in the counsel, nor stand in the path, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. This is showing progression. As we walk together and we're talking, all of a sudden you say something and we stop. Isn't that right? You're walking with somebody, they say something interesting, and you stop because you want to hear exactly what they say. And when it's really good, you say, hey, let's sit down for just a second. Let's talk about this. You see the progression in that? Don't stand. What's it say? I forget. Don't walk. Don't stand and don't sit. Come out from among the world and be separate, says the Lord. I know you think, why is he screaming at us? Because the church has allowed the world to get their ear. And we are listening to the world dictate to us what they can't give us. We've got to listen to God. If you want life, you're listening to the wrong thing. You got to listen to him. The promise is he will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does will prosper. Anybody want some of that? Wherever you put your hand to, he's going to prosper it. He says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're talking about. Jesus is God's whole purpose for you is to make you look like Jesus. It's Romans 8:29, that we would be conformed into the image of his son. How you doing? How you doing in that process? You still look like a kindergartner? You still having temper tantrums? Do we need to change anybody's spiritual diaper today? You think I'm teasing? Pastoring's a whole lot like changing diapers. I'm ready for the church to grow up. I'm ready for us to begin to look like the image of Christ. You want to win Paris for Jesus? You want to make a mark in Tennessee? We need to look like the Son of God, not like this world. That's the part of transformation. That's what takes men who are in debt and discontented and distressed and turns them into mighty men of God. It's not going to happen unless God gets involved. We're all in the process of being transformed. The number one thing, it matters who you hang with. You got to quit hanging with the Saul. And you got to start following the leader, following the righteous man of God. Number two is we must cultivate a deep relationship with God. You must be born again. John 15, great chapter. If you've never studied John 15, here's your assignment for this week. You go home and you start dissecting John chapter 15. He is the vine. And we must, here's what he says, we must abide in him. Abide means to tabernacle or to dwell. We're not talking about somebody who visits Jesus once a week. We're talking about people. If you're serious with God and serious about your relationship with Jesus, he's not a once a week guy. He's a every day dwell with me, meditate upon my word, and he'll begin to enrich your life to the point that he makes this promise, and it blows my mind. John 15:7. If you'll abide in me, and my word abides in you. That's a big if. You'll ask what you will, and it will be done. Can you imagine Jesus saying that? He just put out a blanket promise for the church. But it starts with if. If my word abides in you. Can I add just a little bit to it? Greater than Hollywood. Greater than Fox News. That ought to get some of you Christians. Are you serious? What's the, you know, your life, well, hey, Brother Jim, your life, Sorry. Squirrel. Your life will follow your most dominant thought. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what dominates your thinking? I don't think that we have a lot of people here that still have their mind in the gutter. But I say we have a lot of people in this room that your mind is upon earthly things. Because that's Satan's. See, if Satan can't get you to fall to sin, he's just going to get you busy. He's going to get you so involved in this world that he steals the Word of God out of you. But when you meditate upon the Word of God day and night, you will prosper. He gives you a promise that whatever you ask, I'll do it. Why? Because he's going to plant his desire in you so that you won't have earthly, worldly, selfish desires anymore, because God has got you consumed. And all of a sudden you want his will more than anything else in life. Just give me Jesus. What a song. Hallelujah. Whoo. You guys are wearing me out. Can't imagine doing this twice. We must not have a divided mind. We need to be single-minded. James says the man that has a double mind is unstable in all of his ways. Let's be single-minded. Let our purpose be, give me Jesus. Amen. Last thing I want to say, let's live a life of integrity. You know, I'm preaching to everybody. But men, hear me. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do you remember the day when you didn't need a contract? All you needed was a handshake. And that man would do what he told you on a handshake. You could count on him. That was his word. Heard a man say the other day to me, I forgot who it was. He said, you know, really in this life, all we have is our word. All we have is our word. You make sure your word is truth. Back it up. If you tell somebody you'll be there at 9, be there at 9. If you can't be there at 9, pick up the stinking phone and tell them. I'm preaching to contractors now. No, teasing guy. Oh, Mary, full of grace. 1 Peter 5:8. I get myself in trouble so much. Forgot that's going over the web. 1 Peter 5:8-9 out of the NLT. This is the verse you know. He says, stay alert. I need to preach that in church. Just stay awake. You might get something if you'll just stay awake. He's talking about spiritually. There was a tribe of Israel, Ishmaelites, I believe. What is it? It says they knew the season. They knew the times. And we ought to know what time it is. Spiritually, I'm not talking about the clock. I'm talking about the world clock. Folks, there's bombing going on right now between Israel and Iran. You better wake up. Smell the coffee. The end is coming. I heard that preached in the 90s, and I decided not to go back to college because I thought, Jesus is coming. Why go back to college? I don't like college. That is not the message that you need to take away. If you live another 100 years, plan, do your best, but you understand it sure looks like it could be soon. It sure looks like it could be soon. Hear that trumpet call on the dead in Christ. That's the Baptist. He's going to rise from Nomsey. The dead in Christ will rise, and then those which are alive and well will meet them in the skies. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion, but he prowls like a roaring lion. Looking for someone to devour. Do you know who the devil looks to? The guy that gets separated from the pack. Stay in community. Stay with the believer. Hang in there. Let's not isolate ourselves spiritually. We need each other. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. And seriously, much more than we are in America. You must be born again. That's where it starts. You see, I'm preaching and I feel like people are saying, I really want to grow up in him. I really want to do better. I really want to be mature. I believe there's lots of people in this room that has a desire to serve God fully. Listen to my words. It starts at salvation. It doesn't end with salvation. Too many people are preaching today, this is all you got to do is say a prayer. No, no, no. That just gets you on the first rung of the ladder. Then we start devouring the word. That's where we really begin to change. Why? Because there's a seed planted in our heart. That incorruptible seed. It's not going to ever go away. God wants to do something in our hearts and lives today. He wants to make us into his image, the image of Christ. Would you stand with me? Your children are watching you. Even if they're out of your home, even if someone else is raising your children today, your children, there's an innate love that your children have for you. So don't ever think that your influence has diminished. My children are 40 years old, but I still have influence in their life. And I've got 8 grandchildren and 1 on the way. They just keep popping them out. They need a spiritual papa. They need someone that will steer them, not interfere with them. When you get older, you find that you don't interject what you think to your kids. You wait for them to ask. But when they ask, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? I have permission to say what I think, right? You get into trouble when you try to tell your kids how to live their life. They will not live it the way you think they should. They're going to make different mistakes. But so did you. Aren't you thankful that God's the redeemer of bad decisions? Hallelujah. Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. I believe there's some people here that need to respond to the call of God. Actually, I was debating, Lord, how do I end this service? Stephanie came over and told me, she said, I think you're debating on whether to give an altar call. And the Lord says, give an altar call today. So I'm opening these altars to people that need to ask Jesus into their heart, but also to people that Jesus is already in your heart, but you're saying what she's playing. Give me Jesus. Now see, sometimes we argue with ourselves and we say, well, I don't have to leave my seat. I can say that right from my chair. I want you to know, sometimes it's all about taking that step out of your seat, coming to an altar. Denny said the other day on a Wednesday night, it was, blew my mind. He said, if you look at this pulpit at just a raised surface, then you come to church to be entertained. But if you look at the pulpit as an altar of God, then you come to die. And that's what we need to do. There's people in this room that needs to come right up here and say, there's still a lot of old man living in me. And I say, Jesus, I want to die to my flesh, and I want the Spirit of God to live in me. Now, we're not going to take a long time, but just step out of your seat if you're here today. If you need to ask Jesus in your heart, you need to get my attention or get somebody's attention. We want to lead you in that prayer. But everybody else, we're going to cry out to God. Amen. Come on down. Take a step forward, guys, if you don't mind. Come on. Is there only really six people in this church that says, I need to grow? I need more. Give me Jesus. Come on. You're not listening to the Spirit of God. I know He's shaking your heart right now. There ought to be 50 people up here right now. Hallelujah. Can you sing it?
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world.
Oh, yeah.
You can have all this world. Give me. I don't need anything else. You are my one thing. You are my one thing. I don't want anyone else. No, I don't need anyone else.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, you are my one thing.
Yes, you are.
You are my one thing. I don't want anyone else.
No,
I don't need anything else. You are my one thing. You are my one thing. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world.
Amen. Let's pray. Raise your hand before the Lord. Father God, we come before you right now. Lord, you see the people that have come to this altar. They're crying out to you right now. God, I don't need anything else. And I don't want anything else. I need a strong presence of God in my life. I want the Word to reside in me strong. I pray for the fire of the Holy Ghost to consume us, God. Burn away the old. Let the new man live, God. I want to look like Jesus. I want to talk like Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for the fire of God to touch them. Lord, consume us, God. Do something great in us. Lord, many of us are broken. We've made some bad decisions. And I'm so thankful you do not hold our past against us. You forgive us and you forget. You cast it out. The devil wants to shame us, but I'm thankful, Lord, you remove the shame. Hallelujah. The condemnation is gone. I'm not listening to the voice of the enemy. I'm listening to the voice of my daddy. And he calls me good. He calls me righteous. He calls me his own. Hallelujah. Jesus, I don't know what they need, but you know their hearts. I pray, God, take that key. Unlock their hearts. Let your Spirit, let your oil and wine go deep into our hearts today. Bring healing to us, God. Heal the souls. Heal the psyche. Let the old be gone. Let new men and women of Christ. Let a new army. Hallelujah. Let a new army be birthed in this place today, God. We're not going to see ourselves in distress, in debt, or discontented any longer. We are changing, and you are calling us a mighty army of God. I pray, Lord, let us slay the demons ahead of us, God. Let us win this city for Christ through love and obedience. Jesus, seal it in their heart today with that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Where's Eugene? Eugene, do you know how to end with a blessing? Hallelujah. Whoa, what's happening? Come on. There we go. Hallelujah, Jesus. Touch my sister, Lord. Touch your sister. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Touch your Lord. Touch your Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let me just say something about that. Some people don't think we ought to show any emotion in the church. But if I take you to a St. Louis ball game, you'll act like an idiot. It's okay to get happy in Jesus in the house of God or in the streets of God. Amen. You let God do His perfect work. Amen.
God is good, amen. And all the time, God is good. All the time. It's moments like this that you don't want to leave. But you know, one day we won't have to. We will be with the one who loves us forever. Yes. All eternity. He asked if I knew how to end with a blessing. Yes, I know how to end with a blessing. I have it on my phone, so I'm hoping I don't misread the words because my eyes are old. And I'm crying and I'm emotional. Because when you see God work... that stirs something in you. And if it doesn't, you need to come back. Because we're not done and He's not done. And Pastor talked about touching the city of Paris and Henry County. That is what's going to take it. People that are desperately crying out for only Jesus. Nothing else matters. That old song says that when I get into His presence, the things of this earth grow strangely dim because they simply don't matter anymore. Because we begin to see things from the eyes of the Father. We begin to look at people in those ways. We begin to see the lost and the dying and the hurting, those that are walking in darkness. And it changes the way we think. It changes the way we act, and it changes the way we operate around those people. Okay? So I'm going to end with a blessing because I've told you it's been a little while since I've had a mic in my hand, and sometimes I just get going and we just go. Yeah. Raise your hand and receive a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your graciousness. Yes, he's got it on the screen, so y'all just say it with me. All right. May his face shine upon you and his countenance be upon you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, let it be done to the glory of Jesus. Now, this week, I challenge you. Lock eyes with the one who loves you and let nothing get in your way to do that. Nothing. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.